All right, good morning. I'm a little raspy. I'm not sick, but I lost my voice. I was sick last week, so here I am. We're going to look at today the book of Ruth in its entirety, but don't be panicked because it's four chapters and they're pretty brief, but it's a great story. And what I'm going to read something on the first page, which it was a hymn written by William, they pronounce it Cooper, who William Cooper was a contemporary of John Newton. John Newton, the slave trader who became a pastor and wrote Amazing Grace, was William Cooper's pastor. And Cooper, the reason I'm doing this, Cooper struggled his whole life with depression and anxiety and all kind of stuff that everybody in the modern world deals with. And so this is one of his most famous hymns that he wrote, and it's about God's providence and sovereignty. And that's what the reason I want to read it is because that's what the book of Ruth is about. So let me pray for us and we'll get started. Father, thank you for the fact that you, everything in the Bible, Lord, over 1,500 years, multiple authors, multiple continents, languages, it's a cohesive story that culminates in Jesus. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful for the book of Ruth, that you tucked it in a place in history that ministers to us. If you've ever been in a bad place, Ruth is a good encouragement. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let me just kind of read this, and not going to try to sing it. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh take courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. So I'm willing to bet everybody in this room has had a season in your life where you're like, God, have you forgotten me? God, what are you doing? I don't like this. I didn't want to take this as an elective. That's what is our normal way. So the book of Ruth really deals with this. And as we look at it, it really should have been called the book of Naomi, because the whole thing is Naomi's struggles and then how God turns her story around. The book of Ruth is written, it's kind of anonymous, but most people think it was written by Samuel, the prophet, and he would have written it about 1000 B.C. And Ruth, I said, it's a love story, and these are the themes of the book of Ruth: divine providence, covenant faithfulness, and sovereign grace. Judges, this is the last verse in the book of Judges, says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's the world we live in right now. And so the book of Judges is, if you've read the book of Judges, which most of you probably have, it's chaos. And it's just all, you know, Israel gets a redeemer, they mess up, and everybody, it's just a mess. And so Ruth, this little book we're told in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, in the days when the judges ruled. So Ruth is taking place during the time of the judges. And so when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem, which Bethlehem means house of bread, which has got some irony here. There's a famine in the house of bread in Judah. He went to sojourn in the country of Moab. So Moab is about 75 miles away from Bethlehem. And so this person that we're going to learn about, Abimelech, is taking he and his wife Naomi and their children to go to Moab. Just as a side so you understand, Moab, when Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah and he lost his wife, who turned around, turned into a pillar of salt, is he had his two daughters, and the daughters were like, hey, this is a good idea. Let's get our dad liquored up and sleep with him. And so the eldest daughter, Lot, had a child by his eldest daughter, who was Moab. And that's where the Moabites came from, Lot that way. So he sojourned in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, which the word Naomi means pleasant. This will be coming up in a minute. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem and Judah. They went into the country of Moab and they remained there. So they didn't just, they put down roots there. Elimelech, we learn a lot of information in these first five verses. Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. So she gets there, don't know how long he lived, but he died. We don't know what he died of. He's just dead. And then she was left with her two sons. These two sons took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, which is Chilion's wife. The name of the other was Ruth, Mahlon's wife. They lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion died. So Naomi's like, We left because of a famine. I moved to Moab. My husband's died, and now both of my sons have died. And it says, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. So she's got these two daughters-in-law, and the thing that's not overtly shown, but they were married for 10 years to these guys, and there was no children. So it's like nobody's, no, she's there without any grandchildren. She has nothing but her Moabite daughters-in-law. So then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields. And let me talk about that for a second. She's lost her husband, who would be the bread maker. She lost her two sons. There's no one to protect her. So she's out, Naomi, out working in the fields with the poorest of the poor, and she hears, while she's out doing that, is that the Lord, and that's Yahweh, has visited his people, the Hebrews, and given them food. So the famine is apparently lifted back in Bethlehem. So Naomi sets out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law. They went on the way to return to the land of Judah. So they're walking out. We don't know how far outside of whatever town in Moab. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord, that's Yahweh, deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May Yahweh grant that you may find rest, which that means find another husband, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, we're going to return with you to your people. So she had 100% participation with her two daughters-in-law. But Naomi wants to protest, and this is her logic, which is not incorrect. Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husband? Turn back, my daughters. Go on your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter. And the word bitter is mara, which is going to come back here in a minute. It's exceedingly bitter for me, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone against me. So she's like, in a way, her theology is good. It's not like there is no God, I don't believe in God, but Yahweh is sovereignly against me. And she's asked the same God, Yahweh, to deal kindly with their daughters-in-law. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So Orpah decided to say, thank you for releasing me. I'm going back to Moab. But Ruth clung to Naomi, and she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Now, that's insightful because she's going back to her gods. And what we're going to learn about Ruth is Ruth has changed gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth protested, do not urge me to leave you or return from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. And that's the word for Elohim. And then she goes on to say, where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord, so this is Ruth's confession, may Yahweh is my Elohim. Elohim means God. So she's saying, Yahweh is my God. She has become a follower of Yahweh. Do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. So she's making a commitment to Naomi that I'm going to take care of you in your old age. I'm just going to be with you until you die. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more, and they headed on to Bethlehem. So the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, again, 75-mile walk. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? Because she's been gone for 10 years, and she's had a hard life. So, you know, she probably aged a lot. And they go, kind of looks like Naomi, but is that Naomi? Naomi said to them, don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. So she's come back and she's bitter. She's kind of hopeless. She's like, I've got this daughter-in-law. I've come back and I'm bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full and the Lord has brought me back empty. So again, I don't know where all your stories are or where you are, but there's oftentimes when people are like, okay, God, I used to be full, and now you've made me empty, and I'm having a hard time understanding it. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So she's solidly in God's providence and sovereignty. He's behind all of this. It's reminiscent of Job. So Job, who, you know, Job is very similar. He says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. And I think that's where Naomi is, but she's having a really hard time. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Every time this is mentioned, it's Ruth is a Moabite. Ruth is a Moabite. And so she's now in the world of all the Hebrews. They came to Bethlehem, and this is a ray of sunshine, beginning of the barley harvest. So that's just thrown in there. Now, we looked a couple of weeks ago at all the major feasts that are in Leviticus. So Passover, unleavened bread, and then you have the feast of first fruits. That would be the barley harvest. So this is that gives you kind of a time stamp that there's now going to be a harvest. And then 50 days later on the Jewish calendar would be Pentecost. And so keep that in mind. Ruth 2:1, it's really information. If Samuel wrote it or whoever wrote it, they're trying to identify characters for us so that as we read it, it makes sense. So we're told that Naomi had a relative of her husband, and we're told he's a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. So we're told that he is a relative, and he's a worthy guy. Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, which this is being proactive, let me go to the fields. Instead of you go out to the fields like you did back in Moab, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." This comes right out of Leviticus. And so what Leviticus, the rules were that God said, when you, if you're on the land, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to the edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes on your vineyard. Here's why. You are to leave them for the poor and the sojourner. So Ruth was all both of those things. I'm poor and I'm a sojourner, and I am the Lord your God. So God told that if you owned land, you were supposed to just leave stuff on the perimeter. And if you think about it, it's brilliant because it's not like you're going to give them a handout. You got to go work to pick up the gleanings that are on the ground. So Ruth says, so she set out and went and gleaned in the fields after the reapers. And she, and this is God's sovereignty here, happened. It just happened. This is what a coincidence. She happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. So now she just happens to be in the field of somebody that's a close relative, Boaz, who is of the clan of Elimelech. And then we're told another circumstance, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem because he lived in Bethlehem. We don't know how far out he had to go. People estimate like probably 2 miles to go look at all of his fields. And so now you've got Ruth in his field, and Boaz is now in the field checking up on things. He said to the reapers, now we've already been told that Boaz is a worthy guy. He shows up and he says to all of his workers, Yahweh be with you. Okay, so he's like, he's in it. Yahweh's my God. And they respond back to him. They answered, Yahweh bless you. So he's kind of running a Christian company here. And so then Boaz said to the young man who is in charge of the reapers, he looks over and he says, hey, who's that young woman? Now, this also, it's very clear that there's a big disparity of age between Ruth and Boaz. Boaz is older, probably significantly older. And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, she's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said to me this morning, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and this is the report to Boaz. She continued from early in the morning until now, except for a short rest. So we're seeing that she's there working hard, not being lax, trying to take care of Naomi. And then Boaz says to Ruth, so this is a love story. So this is the first interaction that we have here. Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, because of the age disparity, do not glean in another field or leave this one. Now, she just happened to be in his field by God's grace. He happens to show up on this day when she's there the first day gleaning. And now he's saying, I don't want you to glean in any other field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping. Go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? Which apparently when you were out gleaning in other people's fields and you're a defenseless woman, that was kind of a problem. And when you're thirsty, go to the vessel and drink what the young men have drawn. She, Ruth, fell on her face, bowing to the ground, said, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? You don't know me, I'm a Moabite, I'm a foreigner. And this is his answer. Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. So he's probably sitting, because he's a big dog in the town, sitting outside the gate, and he's probably heard this. And he says, and how you left your father, your mother, and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. And then Boaz proclaims, may Yahweh repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by Yahweh, the God of Israel. And then he says this, the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. God's been providing and protecting you. You've taken refuge under that. But keep in your desktop The wings have covered you. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. Okay, now they're having a meal before the end of the grains that day, going out and harvesting. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here. So it's like, you come over here and sit next to me. And eat some of the bread and dip your morsel in the wine. She sat beside the reapers, and he, Boaz, passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she still had some left over. So there's this ever-increasing kind of satisfaction, abundance, and things happening. When she rose to glean some more, because she was not done gleaning, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also, pull some of them from the bundles for her and leave them to be gleaned. So it's like, just make this like low-hanging fruit, so to speak. Do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until sunset, until this evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, which is 25 to 30 pounds, which would be about 10 days worth of food. And she's got to lug that back a couple of miles back to where Naomi is. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, saw what she had gleaned. And she also brought and gave her what food she had left over. Remember? She had left over because she was satisfied. She goes, well, okay, here's all the stuff I gleaned, but you want some of this roasted grain? It's really good. So she gave her the leftovers after being satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, where did you go glean today? This is amazing. And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And by the way, Boaz means strength. So Naomi, who couldn't see the sunshine because she was so despondent because I left full, I came back empty and all this stuff, everybody's died. Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi said to her, this man, Boaz, he is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And so just a refresher course, what that means is that the Jewish people, you know, when they were all allotted land and everything, and you're in the tribe, the clan and all that, if somebody died, then you needed to have a son or a close relative go redeem, which means they go buy either would preserve the land, redeem the land by paying for it, preserve the family by taking an heir and having a child by the heir, and then protecting the family. That's the job of the redeemer. So he said, Boaz is one of our close relatives, one of our redeemers. And Ruth, the Moabite, said, well, here's some more. Besides that, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all of my harvest. So she's there at the early. The harvest was just beginning, and the harvest time goes to Pentecost. So she's in that field for 50 days. Plenty of time for a romance to develop. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young men, lest in another field you may be assaulted. Because again, that's kind of what happened sometimes. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the harvest and the wheat harvest. So that's the 50 days. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So she's going 2 miles every day, gleaning, bringing them back for 50 days. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you? Should I not seek a husband for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz, our relative, whose young women you were, see, he is winnowing the barley tonight at the threshing floor. So Naomi's got a plan, and this is a high-risk plan. And it, when you first read it, you're going to go, this is not a good plan. So he says, here's what I want you to do, Ruth. Go wash up, therefore. Anoint yourself. Make yourself smell good. Put on your cloak. And then I want you to go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go, uncover his feet, lie down, and he'll tell you what to do. And she replied, all that you say I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. Okay, what could go wrong? So we're told this, when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to the lie down at the end of a heap of grain. Then Ruth came softly, uncovered his feet, lay down. At midnight, the man was startled, turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Okay, we're all adults here, so let me tell you what I think some of the options are. Is that Boaz is liquored up, had a big time, and he says, man, there's a woman at my feet. So a lot of fields, if you were in that, because it seemed normative to accost the reapers and whatever, he could have just said, great, I'm going to have sex with you right here, right now. Or he might, because he's a worthy man, say, you're a bad person. I thought you were a worthy woman. You should get out of here. But here's what happens. This is really a reverse. This is not Boaz proposing to Ruth. This is Ruth proposing to Boaz. He said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant. Remember that line? I want you to spread your wings over your servant because you are my redeemer. That's how it worked out. And so Boaz, let me reread what he said earlier. The Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So Boaz now, and this is around, you know, midnight, he says, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after a young man, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet, plot twist, there is a redeemer nearer than I. And so the closest redeemer would have the first right of refusal on buying the land and doing all this stuff. So remain here tonight. And in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. And this is a tender thing right here. Lie down until morning. She lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize one another because it's scandalous to have, because he said to her, let it not be known that a woman came to the threshing floor, because that would be bad for you. So let me just this is not anything super theological, but if you go to Matthew's genealogy, Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Who's Rahab? Prostitute. So Boaz's mother was a Canaanite, and she was a prostitute. And he obviously knew that. And he loved his mother, Rahab. And God predisposed him to have a kindness towards sojourners, foreigners, because his own mother was a Canaanite. And my mother she didn't have a great reputation. And so, Ruth, I don't want you to have a bad reputation. So I want you to leave now before anybody sees that you are a woman at the threshing floor. Back to Ruth, he said, bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out. So she held it. Now he's next to a big stack of grain. He measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. She went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, hey, I've been up all night wondering how this is going to go. How did you fare, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man Boaz will not rest until the matter has been settled today. So they're sitting there waiting to see how this is going to happen. So Boaz had gone up to the gate. And so outside of this, at Bethlehem, outside of the town, the gate is where all of the elders would meet. And it was basically the title company. It's where people bought and sold land and whatnot. So Boaz had gone up to the gate and he sat down. And behold, the Redeemer, he just happens to walk by. Just the right guy. So everything's lining up by God's sovereignty. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, turn aside, my friend, sit down here. So he turned aside and sat down. Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down because he wanted witnesses because they were going to do a real estate deal. So notice when we read through this what Boaz omits. And then he comes back. So he says to this guy, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative of Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of these sitting here, in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I'll redeem it. Sorry, Boaz, I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to enlarge my fields and whatnot. Now, then Boaz said, okay, just one other thing I need to make you aware of. The day you buy the field from the land of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Then the Redeemer said, I'm out. I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. I don't need another mouth to feed. I can't do it. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. And then we're told, kind of unpacks how all this went down. Now, this was a custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm a transaction. One would draw off his sandal and gave it to the other. So the guy goes, okay, Boaz, here's my sandal. This everybody knows that that means it's yours. This was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders of all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon, and Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead and his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from his brothers from the gate of this native place. You are witnesses this day. So he's now locked it in. He's like, okay, the story winds down very quickly here. Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman. Now, at this point, like I mentioned earlier, she was married for 10 years and they never had children. So there's a high probability that she couldn't have children. It says, may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah. So if you remember, is that Jacob, his love of his life was Rachel. Laban, his uncle Laban, switched out in his wedding night Leah. He gets married to Leah, and then he has to work more, and he gets Rachel. Leah, of all of his two wives and two concubines, had the most children. And then Rachel ended up having Joseph and then ultimately died in childbirth of Benjamin. But they're declaring over Boaz, may Ruth be fertile, basically. And build up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah. That's a whole other story. And because of his offspring that the Lord will give you this young woman. So here we go. Boaz took Ruth. They get married. She became his wife. He went into her. Euphemism, they slept together. The Lord gave her conception. So there's God's sovereign. He opened her womb and gave her conception, and she bore a son. That's the last we hear of Ruth. The whole rest of it is back to this. This is the story of Naomi, who left full and came back empty. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, now she's back to pleasant instead of bitter, Mara, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. Okay, now look, you got to follow this closely. When it says, blessed be the Lord who has not let you this day without a redeemer. And everybody's thinking as you're reading this or hearing it, well, the redeemer was Boaz. But that's not what the case is. Watch this. Has not left you to stay without a redeemer. May his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life, a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-laws who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Who's the him? It's the Redeemer. So it's this baby that Ruth had is the Redeemer. And obviously here's, and this is how it goes from there. So then Naomi took the child and laid her on his lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name. So they say, hey, Boaz, forget it. You don't get to pick the name. All the ladies in the town are going to pick the name. And they picked the name. And it says, a son has been born to Naomi, and they named him Obed, which means worshiper. And then we're told twice in subsequent verses here, he was the father of Jesse, the father of King David. These are the generations of Perez. This is how Ruth ends. These are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Abinadab. Abinadab fathered Nashon. Nashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz because he married the prostitute. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. You go to Matthew's genealogy. Little repetition here, but it's got some little nuggets. Salmon by the father of Boaz by Rahab, the prostitute. Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, the Moabite. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. And then he fast forwards, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. All of this is that it's the time of the judges. Everybody's doing what they want to do. In the story of Ruth, Naomi feels like she's lost everything. She's bitter. And yet there's this overarching God's grace, sovereignty, providence, and all of it was pointing to sustaining the line that goes to Christ. So here's how we'll end. I went away full. The Lord brought me back empty. Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, the restorer of life, the nourisher of your old age. Jeremiah 29, everybody knows this, but think about being Naomi. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Paul, Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. The big takeaway is God is working sovereignly behind the scenes, and you're going to be in a situation, I'm going to be in a situation where it's like, God, I don't really like what's going on right now. I feel like I'm empty. And yet, now I don't need to be bitter anymore. I can go back to being pleasant because I understand God's grace in my life. So, let me close this in prayer. Father, thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you for your kind providence. We thank you for upholding the covenant, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down to Christ. We thank you that Christ is the one, the ultimate child, who raises up and nourishes us in our old age, takes care of us, makes us full. What an amazing grace it is, King Jesus, in your name, amen. Okay. Finished 2 minutes to go.